gonna be trouble.
Yeah! Yeah!
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Full Court Press. God, we're sorry we haven't been here for a little while. It's been months.
It's been seasons.
I don't really have an excuse.
It's the business end of the season.
Yeah.
That's when we get real.
Yeah.
Wes had a nasty bout of scabies, and it really threw a fracture
into
the
rash
Full Court Press family.
In between my anus and the ball sack.
We decided we were only going to do a podcast when Philadelphia won a game, and that's what happened.
It's been 27 long games.
I feel like I've been in a coma, and all of a sudden it's like I turned on the news and it was like, hey, by the way, Phil Jackson's back.
Yeah, well, he's back in the NBA.
It's insane.
It's big news.
Phil Jackson is back in the NBA. He can barely walk, but he's back.
What's his official title? Over at the Knicks now?
President.
He's president of basketball operations.
Speaking of president, yeah. He's not only president, he gets to make all the big decisions. Everyone saw his big speech.
And he gets to do it all from L.A. He doesn't have to go to New York at all. That's what I heard.
Probably no one else could pull that shit.
No.
I don't.
When you have 11 chips, that's what happens.
He's been at the Garden for each home game since he's been there.
Each?
Smiling. A few. A plethora, a handful of games.
What do you make of it, Phil going to New York?
Well, Phil has wanted a front office job for a little while. When Seattle Supersonics were bidding to get the Sacramento team moved up there, there was a lot of rumors that Phil was going to get the front office job, and he was really excited because... sorry, I don't know if he was really excited. I was really excited because Steve Kerr was one of the names as... would be his potential coach. And it looks like all that's just shifted over to New York. On a side note, I have heard little rumors that they're trying to make a bid for Seattle again. So we might hear about a lot of that in the offseason. But, so Phil got given the job, had a big speech saying, you know, we're going to change the mindset.
Culture.
Yeah.
Get the Zen happening.
The losing culture.
Yeah. And, again, the rumors with Steve Kerr possibly being the... coach have all started again, and we've been talking about it and all that sort of stuff.
And they've been directly sort of hinting at that rather than leaving Woodson in the role. So it's pretty much a given Phil doesn't really rate Woodson.
I don't think it would have mattered either way because Woodson's contract is up, and they're going to hire a new coach.
Right.
Or they're either going to rehire him, but they're not going to talk about that, I don't think, too overtly while he's still there. They're going to let this season run its course. But I think... anyone who watches basketball has got a pretty clear idea that Woodson's done for.
Yeah.
You'd surely, right? Especially now that Phil's on board, if he wasn't already.
I really like the idea of Steve Kerr coaching. He's never had any experience being a head coach, but you'd argue that marriage with Phil Jackson from all their history and the rings in Chicago.
Is anyone more upset that we won't get him to commentate the games?
I'm devastated.
Yeah, so much
the worst.
Steve Kerr and Marv Albert together is the best commentary team in basketball.
Don't forget about Reggie.
It's a bit controversial, I know, because that's leaving Breen out of the mix.
Breen and Van Gundy.
Yeah, but Kerr's insights, his money, he relates to players. I'd take him all day.
And there's a little bit of... Marv likes to give it to Steve and vice versa. There's that. I agree with you. I used to be on the Breen bandwagon, but now it's all Marv.
Because Kerr's got a good sense of humor. He's very dry and he gives himself shit and... I don't know. I think he's really good as a commentator. Whether or not he's going to be a good coach or not, questionable.
My issue with it is he looks like the calmest motherfucker on planet Earth. And I'm wondering, you know, when it comes to the point where he needs to scream at a team and get them fired up, whether he's going to be able to do that or, you know, they're going to be down 8 or something in a huge game. He's going to be like, oh, okay. Fellas.
Whether he's got the balls to yell at Amare or JR or something like
Was Phil Jackson a yeller or screamer?
No, but
I've heard times, you know, back in the Chicago days and stuff, they've had to cut out swearing and stuff when he's like, handle the fucking pressure, handle it, move on. Like, I've heard that before.
True. And he hit Powell in the chest from last year. He went up and he basically punched him in the chest.
The interesting thing here, though, is it could end up being like a Miami sort of Pat Riley thing when Spolster first came in and Riley was very much in control and Spolster was almost like a... a pawn, you know, and slowly, you know, Spolster took control and Riley stepped back. I know Phil wanted to be on Riley's level.
Well, I think if you're now on a management level, you know, you want people around there that you can trust, that you know more than just on a work level.
But wasn't that...
That's not Woodson.
Wasn't that what was holding Phil back from getting one of these jobs earlier, especially a Lakers-based job? Because he wanted tons of control, and I don't think very many organizations were willing to give him the full control of the franchise and go, look, yeah, we're going to... Coaching decisions, personnel decisions, you know, probably the system they play on offense and defense is going to be all up to him as well. So only so many teams will do that. And now the Knicks are desperate, I reckon. That's what's led to Phil getting the
What
gig.
Do you get? What do they pay him, do you know?
Fuck loads.
Like a lot. Big contract?
Yeah. I can't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure it's like, you know.
Is it on like marquee player money?
Yeah, like multiple million a year.
Yeah. It's crazy. And how much better is Amari playing suddenly?
Yeah.
Yeah, I that's shocked though. Like, if he's on the court, I really expect him to at least chip in like a 14-6 if he can play.
Well, you want
to
earn those
30 minutes.
You want to earn those dollars. I mean, he had a $20 million contract per season for a reason.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I guess we all got a bit used to him sucking and being injured for so long that we're impressed now he goes for 15-8 or something, and that's like,
but
oh yeah, Amari.
When has he been on the court and not done okay? I think the only reason he's sucked is because he hasn't played.
Yeah.
It's minutes management, yeah.
Yeah.
So do you think this whole move of bringing Phil Jackson over is going to change the fans' perspective of James Dolan now? Like,
he's trying.
Is this almost like a, I need to do something big here.
Shake
to get
up.
The people on my side.
I dare say it is. I mean, the one striking thing is Melo's, obviously, his contract's there and whether or not he's going to come back or not. So I dare say it's Dolan's sort of, hey, I'm trying here. I'm making big moves. Obviously, I want you to be a part of it. Phil said he wants Melo to be a part of the offense next season. Whether or not that's enough to keep Melo there, especially considering, I don't know if the Knicks are going to make the playoffs. And Melo hasn't missed the playoffs, I don't think, ever.
Mm.
It's pretty huge.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But and it gives them a bit of a fall guy as well. It gives Dolan a bit of a fall guy to say, well, you know, I brought in the big guns and now it's on Phil to make it work, really. If it goes bad, who's the first person they're going to point the finger at? It's going to be at Phil. If he's got all this money and they can, especially if they re-sign Melo and they start putting these pieces around, getting a new coach, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be on Phil more than anyone.
Yeah. Well, it's on Woodson this year though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they can wipe their hands of that and go, we're starting afresh next season. We've got Phil in the mix. Here we go.
I think it's kind of unfair because I said at the start of the year, the way that team was constructed, it just wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
You can tell on paper that it wasn't going to work from day dot.
Sure.
No two-way players. You got Bargnani, J.R. Smith on the same team, head cases, Kenyon Martin.
Yeah,
all these guys. Yeah.
You did call it.
You know, and it's fucking very satisfying.
Yeah,
you know,
I'll bet.
I think it was so obvious to see. And poor old Melo has been working his tail all year.
Mm.
He's rebounding like a motherfucker now. He's working super hard. And they sort of deserve to be in the playoffs now because he single-handedly, I think, is sort of keeping him in it.
Okay, so big question is, will he stay?
Oh, I don't know if it's going to if they need to do something first beforehand because it'll get to the off-season. He's going to opt out.
Mm.
And so they have a bit of time to either make another move to encourage him to stay. And I think that needs to happen for him to stay. If it, first point of call is we're re-signing Melo, I think he's probably going to try and get an offer from another team and weigh it up.
He can earn more money there than he can anywhere else. Whether or not the money's a big deal to him anymore, it's about 10 million, 12 million difference, I think. He can get 30 mil a season or something like that. He can get max on 5 years or something.
Yeah, gets
like that.
An extra year, but you know, which he will make up, obviously. But I think, you know, you stand to lose about 8 or 10 million over the course of it if you choose to go with another team.
Or you go to Chicago and do what Luol Deng was doing.
Yeah.
Or where else are you going to go?
He doesn't have that many options. And who's in a position to take him? I know Chicago can do it. They probably have to amnesty Boozer to do it. But they can probably do it.
Again,
anyway,
you're riding a lot more on, okay, cool, so now Rose is back again, and then we have to go down that whole fucking...
Yeah, but even if he's not,
yeah,
you know, they're fourth in the East.
Yeah. And you got Noah there. That's a Noah-Rose-Melo combo. That's pretty good.
Just
Butler, Gibson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's looking good.
Just getting back to Phil Jackson really quickly, you know, a few of the little kind of blogs and stuff have been saying, oh, but he's going back to New York. As opposed to going on to, you know, maybe it was Seattle or whatever. You know, he went to Chicago. He went to New York, then Chicago, and then L.A. But he's going back to New York. Do you think there's really anything in that? Or it was in the 70s when he was doing peyote with, you know.
No, well, I don't think there's anything in
that. He won a chip there.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, it's a there's a little sentimental thing. But I don't think it made any difference. If it was Chicago, any of the L.A. teams, mm-hmm. probably San Antonio, any of the like well-respected franchises, Boston, he'd take that job. Yeah, I don't think it matters where, especially because he's going to be doing a lot of it from his home in L.A. anyway.
Oh, he's hit the gold mine with this deal. It's fantastic. Yeah.
So they're currently, I think, in ninth. They were in eighth for about an hour, hour and a half.
As of today. As of today.
Pop back down.
Atlanta in eighth at the moment. New York lost to Washington today.
Yeah, okay. So who else are we looking at for that eighth seed? They got Atlanta, who has dropped. They were up at third, you know, at one point, second, and now they're all the way down to eighth.
They are free falling.
There's Charlotte. Charlotte are floating around there.
Mm. Charlotte are currently in sixth, right?
Are they sixth? Are they that far? Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, they're 38 and 38, 500
It's
today.
Hard to be excited about that anything below second in the East, though, really.
An amazing achievement compared to last year, though.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's all Al Jefferson, but still, like...
Historically
they were
bad.
Second last year.
Yeah, they're not a punchline anymore.
No, not at all.
They're going to be the Hornets next year. Yep. It's crazy.
How many more games do you think they'll win if there's a Hornet on their jersey next year? Just for that alone.
They'll have a fuckload more fans, that's for sure.
Goddamn right. Yeah. Dave Fez will be ready. Yeah.
but they, I reckon they'll hold steady. They've got Philly, Boston, and Atlanta on the run home. Mm-hmm. Did you guys know that at the end of the season, all the teams that are vying for this bottom half of the East playoffs, they all play Eastern Conference teams for the run home from here on in?
I feel like the NBA do that on purpose. You know, so every game is just insane.
Well, yeah, it makes tons of sense. It's just interesting. I never thought of it that way.
I was talking to my brother today. We were talking about a couple of teams in the West, and he was saying that as well. He was like, oh, fuck, like Dallas are playing Phoenix, and like it's all...
Hectic.
I mean, you can't preconceive. You can't plan that. You don't know it. No one would have said Phoenix will be in the race.
But if you put it... If you just go conference specific, it's going to help,
sure.
Of course.
Yeah.
And it definitely works out the way it has this year.
It's definitely another kind of monstrous hill that you have to face in seventh and eighth, because you've worked your ass off probably in those last couple of games... Just, you know, securing your spot. Meanwhile, those top teams are running their second units more. They're the guys that never kind of get a shot. Like, remember the last two or three games? The Knicks and the Heat were running the grossest lineups.
Yeah, they were just resting players.
And no offense to Patty Mills, but the Spurs the last couple of games, Patty had 34 or something crazy last year.
When he gets burned, that's what happens. Young cork Patty, he fucking goes ballistic.
Where those 7th and 8th, are all going to still probably have to run 45 minutes on all their key stars. It's going to be massive games. And then they're going to be a little bit exhausted for the start of the playoffs.
To get smoked in the first round by the Heat.
That's the question. Do you think it's better for New York to make the playoffs and then just get owned by Miami, say? Or is it better for them just not to make the playoffs? Like, which is worse? Getting, blatantly obvious that you suck and not make the playoffs, or getting monstered by Miami so you're in the spotlight more at the end of the season?
So on the 8th place team?
Yeah, on the 8th place team.
I think in terms of
more so
fans, money, bonuses, you got to make the playoffs.
Yeah, they're not a player in the draft. There's no real bonus for them to finish outside the 8. But you get a shitload more money for even having a home final, even if it's one or two.
I guess I was being a bit more direct about New York's situation, I guess. In terms of, is it better for them to just obviously reset for next year? That's what's happening. Would it be kind of better for them just to not make the playoffs?
I think it's interesting how much stats haunt teams, you know? Like Philly losing, you know, how many games in a row?
26.
Yeah. 26. And I think if they don't make the playoffs there with the season they've had, it's just another kind of haunting stat to reflect.
Yeah, and they're on a little streak of making the playoffs as well. So, like, when it comes to when they fall out eventually, it'll be like, oh, this team went so many years with making the playoffs. Like,
that's true.
San Antonio are on 19 years now or something crazy. You know, those little streaks help the fan base as well to feel better about things.
Yeah, that's true.
And actually, I don't think New York match up that bad against Miami compared to some of the other teams.
You'd like them more. It'd be a way more interesting first round series with them rather than Atlanta.
Yeah.
So who's it going to be? Cleveland, New York, Atlanta. You, I think it's safe to say that Charlotte are going to be there.
Yeah, Charlotte have made it.
So it's between Atlanta, New York, and Cleveland for the eighth spot.
Mm.
Who's it going to be?
I'm going to go with Cleveland.
I think New York will get there.
Yeah. I agree with Chris. I think Cleveland needed to win today. They got smoked by Atlanta, which is makes it much worse for them. They're 31-46 now.
Damn it.
But they have a pretty easy run home. They got Detroit, Milwaukee, and Boston, among some other things. And New York have a terrible run home.
Yeah. How many games behind are they?
New York at 33-49. Mm-hmm. Cleveland, 31-46.
Such a gross record, and they're making the playoffs.
Horrendous, hey. Yeah. But the New York have got Miami, Toronto twice, Charlotte, and Brooklyn.
Wow.
All in the stretch run. Yeah. So it's going to be super tough.
It's going to be tough.
Very tough.
Well, I mean, if they win those games and make the playoffs, they deserve to be there, obviously, you know, and this is where they have to lift their game. If anything's worth salvaging this season, this is when to stand up, isn't it?
Exactly.
I'd like to see them there. I mean, Atlanta could very well sneak in. It's not beyond them. But, yeah, I'd like to see New York.
We got, like, six games each. Are they going to play about six?
Roundabout. Did I say? I said 33-44 because that's what I meant to
say. I guess you can't really, you know, like...
That's five more games.
Yeah, you can't really fade out the Knicks, though. I mean, they were there for a minute. They could come back. Why wouldn't they finish strong?
Well, it's tough. You know,
it just depends what those teams do, though. Miami might rest players.
It's mind-blowing that Charlotte's ahead of those three teams. I mean, I think in one of the early podcasts, I had Cleveland... fifth or something.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to dominate.
I don't know if they seem to play better without Kyrie. They've uncorked Deion Waiters and they were on a bit of a tear.
I saw an article today that was saying, you know, Doc Rivers has gotten Chris Paul to pass the ball more and that's why they're winning more games.
What?
That's random.
That's outrageous.
But do you feel that maybe if Kyrie stopped putting his body on the line every play and pass the ball a little bit more?
Kyrie's a different breed, I reckon. He's like Derrick Rose. He's score-first mentality, not like CP. That's his gig.
Yeah, Cleveland are just a few pieces away. Like, you know, they're contestable with Kyrie, and you got to sort of worry about him, but I think they're a few pieces away from being, you know, a sort of a fifth, sixth seed in the East. Not yet, but they'll get there.
Just to jump up to the top two seeds, you know, it's been a massive struggle between the Pacers, who are losing a few games and
more than a few, Wes.
Sorry,
more than a few fucking games. The Pacers.
Well, for the first time this season, Miami are in first in the division, and it's very crucial because Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals was in Miami, and if the Pacers can keep or go back up to the first, and they do end up having to face the Heat, that means they will have a little bit more of an advantage because they have home court advantage. It's huge.
You'd argue that was the defining factor in that series last year.
I think there's a lot of things going on, and it's all mental. They were the underdogs last year, and they're not. Everyone's like, you guys are going to win. We're expecting you to win. You guys are in first the whole time. And it's all starting to crumble because it's a lot of pressure. Now there's, you know, internal turmoil. You know, I heard Paul George and Psycho were yelling at each other in the locker room.
Who's that? Stevenson.
Yeah. That was George Hill and Stevenson.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was Paul George.
That's separated it.
Sorry, facts.
It's confusing. Sorry, fucking everyone on the Pacers has the same name, and everyone's got like two first names as their name. It's brutal.
Yeah.
But don't you think it's all because they're perceived as a different team this year, hence they're taking the pressure and taking every situation much differently than last year?
I think that's very true. But I also think they're probably doing it to themselves.
Yeah, totally.
You know, they're like, we got to the seventh game last year. We have to make the finals or bust, you know?
Yeah.
That's a lot of weight to carry around for the whole season, especially with the start they got off to and the way they were playing. It is a long season, and they're sort of like a contender now. So, yeah, maybe they're still a bit young to handle that. The team's been there a while, together a while, but what's funny, and no one sort of said, and since Granger left, which doesn't seem to be relevant because he wasn't even playing much, but Perhaps he's like the most epic motivational speaker.
It's been a little,
you know, he's like the glue or some shit. But it's weird, you know. It's super weird.
It's also weird to see Evan Turner like
sucking
a little bit. Yeah, a little bit off.
Yeah, just sometimes it'd be hard to try and fit in, especially when you've gone from being the man on
to
that team,
the second,
you know, 20 points a game, and then he's coming here and he's got to fit into a whole thing. He doesn't want to ruin it, but he has.
Yeah, but you all of a sudden you've been, you know, gone from the shittest team to arguably one of the best in the East, which could be. Sorry, let me just get that really quickly.
Fuck. Was that Stevenson telling you to stop dissing Indiana? He could be him. Stevenson could be the problem. He could just be like volatile and toxic to the locker room energy, you know? You reckon he's on like crazy pills or Ritalin or something like that?
All of the above. Yeah.
Definitely.
And he's just...
He's like Tony Allen of the East. Yeah, he's a little bit special.
But he was so good, you know, at the start of the season.
He's still good.
Yeah, he's still very good.
He played in the game against San Antonio. They got absolutely annihilated, the Pacers. Mm-hmm. And the only one who was making things happen at the start of the game, keeping it even borderline respectable, was Stevenson.
And his mid-range and three-point shot has improved massively this year.
Yeah, he's not afraid to drive. He's super aggressive. He knows he's got the green light.
You know who leads the team in rebounds?
Stevenson.
Stevenson.
Yeah.
He's mental. How is Hibbert not leading the team?
Well,
how is West not leading the team in rebounds?
Well, like, it's really super close. You know, they're all hovering around 7 rebounds a game, and George as well.
Can we talk about what Hibbert said, his big comment?
Go for it.
So he said, I don't feel like we're sharing the ball enough.
Yeah, that was when they lost to Washington, I think, wasn't it?
And then that started the debate.
After that game. He only got 8 shots that game, so he was like, you know, there's a lot of selfish guys in here. Obviously, he's not getting his...
Do you think he's right?
When you're shooting 30% over the last, like, 10 games, I wouldn't pass in the ball either.
Regardless of if he's right or not, you don't say that shit. You're a contending team. You want to create a... impression of unity. You're all together. You're maturing as a team. You're ready to take the step to the finals. Even if there is drama in the team, you don't say that.
Do you think...
Reeks of immaturity for
conspiracy
him.
Conspiracy theory. Mm. When Paul George was like, oh, I'm sucking and I need help. And he's like, I'm going to ask... Maybe it's weird. Should I ask LeBron for advice?
Did he say that?
Yeah, I believe he said he would love to be mentored by LeBron.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I thought you'd arrive
now, if
last
you're
season,
Stevenson,
you know?
Like, and Stevenson's like a pit bull while he's not playing, just death staring the Heat. He fucking hates Dwayne Wade. And you heard he said that. Would you be like,
shut up.
What the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
There goes all the intensity, the fear factor.
So you
what have you done? And that kind of was like a start of something, or I don't know, even though it was George Hill that got mad at him,
like you said, with Hibbert's comments as well, it seems like they're kind of still very young mentally, you know, and they haven't got that sort of pride. Yeah, but they haven't got that pride within themselves where they've seen they need to look at outside influences. Like, to me, if I was on Indiana and I heard my best player saying, you know, Paul George saying, oh, maybe, you know, like I get some advice from LeBriz or whatever context.
Here's an idea.
That would be...
Why don't you go to the Godfather's office and go sit down with Larry Bird and get some advice from him? What the hell is LeBron going to tell you? You know, I think it's crazy. Like, I picture it like this very Godfather-esque type of vibe. Are you having troubles? All right, well, go see the Godfather. And you walk to Larry, and Larry sits you down, shows you some footage, slaps you around a little bit, and you walk out going, fuck, my dad just hit me, but
it's
cool.
Do you reckon Larry would do that, though? You know?
Yeah.
He's pretty,
it's his team.
I think it's arrogant,
you know? He'd probably just go... You know, handle your shit, boy. And let's
shovel the driveway. Yeah. Let's go.
Maybe you need to go shovel some snow with Larry and just learn life. But don't verbally announce you want to.
It just shows
your
weaker. Totally shows your weaker.
You're right.
And it's kind of it's not good, especially at the time this time of the season. Maybe at the start of the season, if anything. But the thing that shits me about it is last season, you know, he in the playoffs they were kind of a little bit of the underdog, and I'm like, oh, look at the Pacers, man, Pacers bandwagon, and he threw down that vicious tomahawk on Chris Anderson. The next play, LeBriz hits a 3-ball, and they're all like, oh, they're on level 10.
Yeah, superstar, we saw.
And they high five.
Even
when they high fived during the playoffs at the end of a quarter, to me that was
pretty shit.
I like that.
Yeah, I know it's like endearing and shit and it's cool, but from a killer instinct perspective, it's like, you know, you don't even look at him. Like, why are you high-fiving him? But then they were, you know, he was younger. Okay, I'm in his shadow a little bit. High five. Yeah, I've come of age. That was when you come of age. Not this season. Yeah. Not especially now, right when the playoffs are about to start.
Well, let's be fair to Paul George. He's had a pretty bad run the last couple of months. He allegedly got a hooker pregnant and then offered her $1 million to have an abortion.
Yeah, wow.
And she politely declined. Then he allegedly sent dick pics to a female that turned out to not be a female.
Wow.
He got catfished super hard. And so this is how he's like, that's what he wants to ask LeBron, like, man, who should I send my dick pics to, LeBron? that's what he needs. You can't really go into the office and say, oi, Larry.
That's why I like Alan
Iverson. I don't know who I should send my dick pics to, Larry Legend. Sorry. How much that should I offer good. This chick to abort my baby? Yeah.
So to sum up...
Well, hey, maybe Larry should have offered that. He could relate. edgy, way topical. Back in the day. Yep.
So to sum up the Pacers, I think we universally feel it's a maturity thing. And it's the way they're being perceived this year versus last year. And it's all kind of got to them.
To me, it's like they can embrace it. It's there for them to embrace and step to that next level maturity-wise. Contender-wise, but it doesn't seem like they're ready to take that step.
A few, like, little quick things, and what, like, got highlighted by watching them get destroyed by the Spurs so much. Everything in this is very stagnant. They rely on George and Stevenson to do way too much, get into the paint, make something happen to them. George Hill, sometimes, like I say this about him all the time, but sometimes it looks like someone's like Men in Blacked him in the face and just erased his memory and said to him, this is your first game of basketball tonight, go for it. And his body knows how to do it,
but
he just looks like he's never played basketball before.
To me, sometimes he's a ghost out there. You definitely don't even know he's there on the court half the time.
Like, would you rather have Chalmers than him at the moment?
Probably.
Just the way he keeps his shit together. Yep. He does what he needs to do.
Yeah.
And he's consistently
he's
good.
He's there to take an open shot and knock it down when he needs to.
So if George Hill's...
Was doing that, George Hill, for a long time there. He was the start of the season, the first half of the season.
It sounds like you're saying you want a little bit more of a defensive-minded, taking charge, kind of maybe a little bit of a flop every once in a while.
More offensive-minded. He's got to get into the paint and make things happen. That shouldn't be on George to do all the time.
No, I agree.
You don't really see him go to the hole and put heaps of pressure on the defense and open stuff up. I don't think he does that well enough. And the other thing is, I think Hibbert's a bit of a myth, hey? He averages 11-7.
It's not good enough.
He plays great against Miami when he feels like it. He shoots 45%. He's 7'2". He gets out-rebounded by Lance Stephenson
on his team. Out-rebounded. Yeah, I agree. I mean, there was a time there, though, where he was dominant in the categories he had to be when Paul George and others were carrying them with scoring or whatever.
Like,
and he was averaging the blocks. He was challenging every shot.
Just because he doesn't get a block doesn't necessarily mean that he doesn't alter a shot regardless.
Yeah, I agree.
Their whole defense is a funnel. Mm. Yeah, it all comes straight down to Hibbert.
I got no problem with his defense. Well, I think it's great. That's a lot of his game, but like you can't cry for the ball when you're shooting 30%.
Mm.
And like it just looks disgusting. His footwork and some of the things that he flips up there are just so rank.
Yep.
But remember the start of the year, they were talking about, I want to be defensive player of the year. I want to take more of a role. I want to be more responsible on offense, etc., etc. Because that's what he did last season. He was getting blocks and he was a presence there. And that's all we knew of Hibbert. Now, and especially on a contending team, if that's your dominant center and your go-to guy, he has to score more. He has to.
Mm.
It's not good enough. You can't just rely on being a defensive presence, blocking and hindering shots, and that's it. Especially when you're not rebounding either.
He's capable. So, like, you saw in the Miami series, he was amazing.
Yeah.
He can do it. I just want to see
more
of it.
Hibbert.
And, you know, maybe it'll just take the playoffs to fire him up. It's there, but maybe. You know.
Okay, I want to jump from the Pacers to who do we feel, if the Pacers weren't that second best team, who's the little under the radar team in the East? And I think there's really only two teams to be discussed, which is Toronto and
Brooklyn. Toronto are definitely like, under the radar.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah, I don't know where the lineup goes, but could we see a Miami-Brooklyn Eastern Conference final with Paul Pierce doing
They have to finish. They'd have to finish in fourth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're talking about beating the Pacers in the semis then.
Yeah.
Would that, you can think you that's see possible?
Them be, over seven games? I still think Indiana could have them. I know they're in a slump now, but I don't see enough from Brooklyn to be able to do it. What's Lopez doing?
Lopez is gone.
Yeah, he's done.
And they're playing way better without Lopez and Kevin Garnett, like you were saying.
Yeah.
It's all because they got such a great coach. Coach is fantastic.
He's been sober for a long time.
Yeah, totally. Not spilling his drinks everywhere. Look at everything turn around.
Well, Joe Johnson, to me, that's the guy who's the key factor there. Mm. If he can really
blow up.
What about
Kirilenko? Off the bench.
Yeah, well, he can have a green light off the bench. But Joe
or
Johnson,
Andre Blatch making smart decisions instead of just weird travels and awkward jump shots.
You need Joe Johnson to be averaging like 25 and Paul Pierce to be scoring as well. If those two guys are firing, they've got a pretty good chance. But can they play defense?
No Deron Williams factor?
Maybe.
Yeah, Williams and Livingston especially, has been
playing
amazing.
Well.
Who's the big Euro that shoots threes?
Teletovic.
Yeah, they've got a lot of firepower. Whether or not it's the same shit. Like, they've managed to get it together for the second half of the season.
They're the best performing team in the East since 2014. There's a fact.
I don't know. They match up pretty good, I guess, with Indiana. But
does anyone else here feel that Toronto they're like the Golden State of the East last year? You know, like Golden State overachieved. I feel like they're really overachieving.
I just can't believe they're going to do anything with it. I just still don't believe it. Every time I look at the standings, I can't believe what I'm seeing.
You just got to look at like how bad the East is, which is kind of an indication. Not taking anything away from them, but they have been lucky in a sense to the rest of the East has been so shit.
Let's get rid of the divisions. Keep saying it.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah. Mm. Totally. But they're tied with Chicago for record. Mm. They're just up because of the way that their division's broken down.
Yeah, that's right.
But if they play each other, you're taking Chicago in a landslide, right? Somehow still? Yeah. I don't know. I just don't believe the hype.
I agree.
Of Toronto. I guess you should. They're 12 games over 500.
It's misleading that they're in third.
Yeah.
Well, they're in third only because of the division they're in.
Or fourth.
They're leading their division.
Even though they're fourth,
Yeah.
They'd have home court in the first round.
It's crazy that they're ahead of Brooklyn, New York, and Atlanta even. Mm. All things being equal in the NBA at the start of the season. There's no way you're saying Toronto.
And something drastic would have to happen for Brooklyn to actually make the third or fourth. Can we just jump all the way from the East to the West?
Yes, please. About the Pacers. Love the West.
Love the West. And I want to talk a little bit about the Spurs, who just lost to OKC, but they were winning 19 in a row.
Mm. Fifth longest streak in NBA history in regular season.
And Popovich hates it. He did. He said he hates it. And last time they won that much, they lost in the first round of the playoffs.
Mm. You know how you can tell Popovich is off it? Because his interviews go for like 10.2 seconds.
Yeah.
Like a professional athlete, he switches into psycho mode as soon as we're about 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think of this? One word.
Yeah.
Hey, how about this? Go away.
Yeah.
Thanks for the interview. Take care.
It's the best.
It's great. I love it.
The interesting thing with the Spurs is if you consider they're probably going to play OKC in the finals, in the Western Conference finals, OKC have swept them this year, 4-0. Spurs can't beat OKC this
season. Team.
It's pretty crazy.
But fuck all the facts. Mm. Patty Mills.
Yeah.
Playing amazing.
I don't know why you're so surprised.
Deal with it.
He's
said something interesting, and say it now.
Yeah, well, I was going to say.
Here's a fact.
Yeah,
no, it's not a fact.
Do you think by the end of both of their careers that Patty would have had a better NBA career than Andrew Bogut?
Possibly, yeah.
And by default, would that then make Patty Mills the greatest Australian NBA player of all time?
More than Longley.
Depends what you... Yeah, I was going to say Longley. Are you talking rings?
No, I'm talking...
Are you talking rings?
I'm talking about like
stats, statistical
impact
ability.
On the game of basketball.
You can't
NBA.
Take anything away from being number one draft, which I said when we first spoke about this,
and
from Bogut.
Bogut was like third team all NBA... almost an all-star
a few seasons ago.
Yeah, prior to the injury.
Sure.
So I'm not... But
he's definitely been more of a factor, for sure.
Not when Bogut played for Milwaukee, but definitely for Golden State. Even though a couple tip jams and been playing good.
It's a tough argument. But you look at it like, wow, Golden State, a good team. Fuck, they need Bogut. When Bogut's healthy, they're pretty strong.
He changes it.
You're not saying that about Patty at San Antonio.
That's true.
Not yet. I mean, I know Popovich has got plans for Patty Mills for sure. That's why he's kept him.
Patty Mills is definitely...
He was running like DMPs for like three straight seasons, you know? He was a myth. Like, who? Yeah. And now he's a part of the second team
and
rotation.
Not only that, he's in the best shape of his life this year. He's put on a few extra pounds. He's a fighting machine. And his shot release, he's starting to do like a little bit of stuff on Curry. Just not even there's no hesitation in his shot anymore.
You think that he's probably got a little bit more longevity than Bogut as well.
So yeah. Think about how much he's learning just being with the Spurs every day.
If you're averaging 10 points off the bench for San Antonio, you're taking some pretty good shots.
Yeah, and what if he stays there another year and learns more off Tony
Parker? I wonder if happens when either if Parker moves on or whether someone starts going, okay, Patty Mills is going to be our backup point guard and maybe play 25 to 20 minutes a night, like a Darren Collison type 100%. Of situation where he could end up, you know, if someone goes down, he could perceivably be a starting 100%. Point guard in the league now that he's had that exposure with the Spurs.
It's no surprise that Popovich has been molding him for that exact purpose.
Yeah. Mm. The only thing, the deciding factor for that to happen is he needs to continue to be a lethal scorer and facilitator because what he offers in offense, he weighs like 80 kilos total. Mm. So he has nothing to offer in defense really.
Yeah.
Well, so it's like a Steve Nash on the court. You're not going to get anything on D, but if he can become an offensive weapon to the next level.
I don't know. If you're a part of that offense and you're part of that culture at the Spurs, it can only do good things for you. Their bench averages 50 points.
But is it that Popovich has gotten the best out of Patty and you're seeing him peaking? Or is he learning so much under that system that he could go to another team and take it to another level if he got given
maybe
more
now
responsibility?
He could. Maybe now he could. Maybe another season or two he could for sure. But he's definitely been molded and coached. And yeah, I reckon Popovich is getting the best out of him. But I still think he's giving him that confidence that he can go do that at another team for sure.
Yeah, well, no Gary Neal. So he was third last year. I mean, he was not second. He was not backup.
You're on the second option, no.
No.
No. Joseph was getting more minutes.
It's awesome.
Well, the Spurs, like, I mean, what do you say about that streak? They're just timeless, aren't they? 28 assists a game as well. Everyone's getting looks.
It's amazing.
I heard on a rival podcast, they're using the fancy sport cameras that they measure how much the ball moves.
Yeah.
And the Spurs ball movement was more than double the next closest team.
Wow.
How crazy
That's
is
crazy.
That?
It's not that it's surprising it's that big a difference, but I would expect him to be up there in the league, but yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, not say.
I don't know, man.
How do you feel about them? They're going to go all the way?
They can't beat OKC.
You don't reckon they beat OKC? I can't see anyone stopping them getting to the Western Finals.
I agree.
But yeah, you can't argue with the regular season sweep. But at the same time, I've just got this feeling they're going to go back, that they'll figure it out.
What happened last year? They took down Memphis in the conference finals?
Swept them in the conference finals because Westbrook got hurt.
That's right. And
they beat OKC.
That's right. Yeah, no trouble. Yeah.
So there's that, I suppose. But when they're 51-10 with Kawhi Leonard in the lineup. That's pretty remarkable.
Right now, I mean, with obviously all the how strong the West is and the Clippers are there and Golden State, etc., and Houston. But can you really see, it's what we said at the start of the season, can you really see anyone... The top four, Indiana, Miami, and OKC Spurs conference finals. That's the matchup. Is that still what you guys see?
The only one I'm worried about is Indiana.
Mm.
I feel like if they ran into a buzzsaw of offense at some point, that someone could mow them over. They could just capitulate.
So the West, OKC will probably be able to handle the Clippers, say.
What happens
That'll be a great series.
What happens if Westbrook gets hurt again?
Well, what happens if Durant gets hurt? What happens
if Duncan
gets hurt?
Like, you know, Westbrook came back from injury this year. He's skipped 23 games, and then he hurt his knee again.
Yeah, but he's back. Last 30 games, he hasn't had a problem.
Pretty much every game he's been in since he's been back, he plays like Westbrook. It's not like Rose, where Rose like looked like he was coming back from an injury. When Westbrook's in there, he looks like the old Westbrook. Yeah. So if he's there, he's going to play like an animal.
So you got Houston and the Clippers sitting at 3-4.
And Portland.
Portland are under the radar. I don't know.
So who's the dark horse there? I mean, I actually thought OKC, we're going to be in first by the time we were having this podcast.
Yeah.
The Spurs are pretty much locked it in. There's no way they're going to lose.
Yeah, well, I think they're going to want home court advantage. Because if the finals last year were in San Antonio, it might have been a different story.
Yeah, very true. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I'm just interested in those matchups now when you're talking about sort of third and fourth, fifth and sixth.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, Golden State and Clippers, which is looking likely three-place-six. That's bone of material.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Golden State have got to get their horses back.
Yeah, I know. I know David Lee's probably going to be back. Is Bogeyman going to be healthy?
Yeah.
It's concerning because they're not that deep, you know? Mm. You can't be trotting out Jermaine O'Neal. I'm sorry, not against Duncan or not against DeAndre and Blake.
He's the weirdest free throw.
I was talking with Marco.
Yeah, I know, I saw that.
I was talking with Marco today, and he goes, "Where is Harrison Barnes?" Like in his weird Italian accent. He's like, non-existent, has sucked for the last 3 months. He was an X factor for them last year. What's going on with Harrison Barnes?
Like you were saying about overachieving, Golden State overachieved pretty hard last season. Mm. You know, and they nearly took down the Spurs. I mean, where do you go from that, you know? You're facing a much better Clippers team this year.
Yeah.
They're my boys, but I'm concerned. I'm fucking scared.
It doesn't look
great. They're just going to get, you know, one injury away from falling apart.
The bench isn't good.
No.
Jordan Crawford, I think that the experiment's not been good.
No.
Blake's Draymond steady,
Green,
but he's getting a bit.
Green's
you don't want to be trotting him out. Barnes is like, I bought stock in Barnes early. I love the look of him. I don't know why it doesn't work because he's got all the tools and he was rebounding great, shooting jumpers, dominating smaller guys.
I still think you're going to see the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals.
So who are they going to beat?
They're going to beat the Spurs or OKC?
I think they're going to beat everybody in the West.
You see, I
really think the Clippers are going to do it.
Oh, I don't see it.
Yeah, big baby. Danny Granger.
He's getting better. He's losing 5 kilos every day. Like, that's how out of shape he was. But literally,
drool.
You even see his stomach. Like, it's gotten so much flatter in 3 weeks.
Are
you
talking
crazy.
About Big Baby?
Yeah.
Did you guys see him get escorted off the bench
the other day? That's where he's losing all his kilos walking back to the locker room.
But you're not going to run him that much.
It's salty tears.
Yeah.
Did you see what happened, though? He went in the game, stunk it up pretty hard. Rivers called him off, benched him, and he said something to Rivers on the way back. And kept mouthing off, and Rivers has told him to shut up, sit at the end of the bench, kept mouthing off. So Rivers has got the security to escort him back to the locker room. Insane.
Gonski.
That's crazy. Do you think I'm crazy saying the Clippers are going to go all the way?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I think
they're deep. They got Danny Granger. Barnes is playing epic. As long as
Chris Paul is playing out of his mind.
And he will continue to play. They have one of the best coaches in the league. And DeAndre Jordan's playing a lot better this year, defensively.
Griffin has been a beast. You can't deny him.
Dude, we bag him out so much, but God damn it. God damn it. He is awesome.
I know that the Clippers have to do, they're on a mission to do well in the playoffs because they've had some early exits the last few seasons, and I'm sure they want to prove, like, shake that monkey, but I don't see it. I don't see them being able to handle the Spurs, man.
Well, what about the bottom of the West? There's a bit of there's definitely a dogfight going on there. Phoenix, Memphis, and Dallas.
Yeah.
It's all happening.
Well, Dallas is sitting in 7th, Memphis 8th, and Phoenix 9th.
One of the first podcasts we did this year, I said Phoenix are tanking. They're going to be the worst team in the league. And the fact that they're sitting in 9th, and I've watched almost every game, it's been an amazing journey. But I think just to be in 9th with the team that they have at the moment is amazing. Yeah. And I don't think they're going to be able to beat the Memphis or Dallas. Dallas are pretty much locked into 7th, I reckon.
I think they play Memphis, don't they?
Yeah, well, check it out. The West is sorted like the East in terms of they're playing all West teams except for Memphis, who plays Miami and Philly on the way back, which is good for them.
Yeah.
Philly, that is. But Phoenix have got to play Oklahoma, San Antonio, Dallas, and Memphis all on the way back. So that's pretty huge. That's a pretty nasty run.
Yeah.
Whereas Dallas have the Lakers, Sacramento, and Utah amongst their last couple of games, and Memphis have Phoenix, Dallas, Miami, and Philly, and San Antonio. So that's sort of gnarly, but Phoenix definitely has the worst run.
Yeah, and Dallas have hit a bit of form. I was watching him against Golden State the other night. Like, Nowitzki's looking pretty good.
Lethal.
He's pretty clutch again. Mm. Monte Ellis is playing pretty good. He's a bit glory, but, you know, he's dangerous for sure.
I think Monte is awesome. Yeah. So I think he played great in that Golden State game. Mm.
So who lands in the eighth? Because Dallas have got seventh.
No, I don't think that's super locked in. They're only a game apart. Dallas are one game ahead of Memphis.
Well, the Suns are playing like Portland and OKC next.
I think it's going to be good. Dallas.
Even though,
Memphis,
yeah, they've beaten Portland every time this year, and they're 1-1 with OKC. But like, you think Green's going to score 41 again? I don't think they're
NBA Jam Green.
Hey, can we just stop talking about basketball for a second and enjoy our lives? And remember when we were all 15 years old? When I was on holiday, I bought 3 packets of basketball cards. They're called Prism. And Kyrie Irving's on the front. And I thought, if I give you a pack and I give you a pack, we could just maybe open them up and it might spark a little bit of thought and discussion.
Thanks so much.
And then
Prism, not available for sale. They must be good.
They
Is
are.
There bubble gum
I
in
bought
here?
Them at Walmart. So.
Where's the bubble gum?
And I thought maybe we could all match
up. You got
up.
Stitched. It says no purchase necessary on the front.
It's because it's a bulk pack, goddammit. So there's only 4 cards per pack. So I thought if anyone has something interesting to say about each player, let it rock. But so who's got the best starting lineup out of
our team? I'm seeing a Sacramento logo on mine. I'm in trouble.
I'm screwed. I've got Anthony Bennett.
I've got 5 cards.
Yeah,
so we
there is 5.
I've got 5.
All right. Well, we got our starting 5.
I think my team is going to monster you all because I'm all big. I'm getting every board.
I got one vintage player.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Does anyone have a legend?
I got a legend.
Yeah,
oh, sick.
So, all right, let's go, Rabbit. Let's go, Rabbit. I want to see.
I'm taking you guys down. I've got David West. I've got Moses Malone.
Ooh.
I've got K-Love. I've got DeAndre Jordan. And I'm just going to throw away Anthony Bennett. That doesn't matter.
What you have is no one that can dribble or pass.
Doesn't matter. I've got 3 balls, I got boards, and I got blocks, and I got scoring.
Who's shooting threes for you?
K-Love.
All right.
True.
Yeah.
Well, you can take that and shove it up your ass, because I got Eric Maynor.
What?
Blake Griffin.
Okay.
You're going to pronounce that last name for me.
Schrader. Dennis Schrader.
Dennis Schrader.
So you've got Griffin.
It's the German.
I got Alonzo Mourning.
Gross.
Oh, blocks.
And
Mason Plumlee.
The quote-unquote good Plumlee.
Oh.
So you're trotting out. What's going to do damage is...
I got size.
Rabbit's team's going to monster your team.
I think you've seen Blake Griffin's dribbling lately.
Who've
I think
got?
He could be my point guard.
Substance. You've got Blake Griffin and who?
And Eric Maynor.
No, you got Blake Griffin
so
and Zoe.
He's going to be my one. My big boy's back here. I'm going to run...
You know people can't see where you're putting the cards
okay,
down.
Okay, so Dennis... God damn it, I can't...
Schrader. He's like the third string point guard.
Yeah, no, he's got
Atlanta.
The weird white spot.
I can take your 5 with my 4. I've thrown away Bennett.
So we got Eric Schrader and Eric Maynor.
You've got nothing.
1 and 2. I'm going to run Griffin at 3, and Plumlee's going to be my 4, and Mourning's my 5. What's the problem?
It's gross.
You got no spacing.
All right, what do you got, Bag?
Well, everyone knows a good team needs role players. So I've got Tayshaun Prince and Haslam.
Wow.
They're my role players.
Wow.
Up-and-coming rookie Ben McLemore from the Kings.
Gross. Love it.
They're my trump cards. I got David Lee and Pistol Pete Maravich.
Oh,
what's up now?
Jeez.
Yeah,
wow.
You don't even
what's
know.
What's the green card? Why is that green?
That's probably for the hardest working player on your team. That's Haslam.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Another reason to...
I think we can agree that Wes's team's definitely the worst.
Totally.
Rabbit's team's pretty good, but I think my balance is the best.
I just don't know how you're getting boards.
I've got David Lee and Haslam.
Yeah, but I've got Moses. Moses. You just put him in there to block and rebound. And then David West can score. He's got an outside jumper. And K-Love can score.
Mm.
I know I don't have handles, but if I can just get the ball up court with a couple of, you know, outlets or something like that, you can't get it. Pete Maravich can't get that high.
My defense would be sensational. No, it wouldn't. I've got David Lee.
No. I think I'd take it out.
Yeah. Wes's law. I think we can agree. I think Rabbits is probably the best.
I'd probably take you in 6 in a series.
Yeah.
I think have two good cards. Basically, I have 2 good cards.
You get swept.
Yeah.
You get swept for sure.
Don't forget the 3-point shot at the buzzer.
Thanks for buying his cards, though. Thanks for buying his cards.
Dude,
that's awesome.
My
Even
pleasure.
When the purchase wasn't necessary, he still did it.
All right, back to reality. We haven't done Douche of the Week, and because we haven't done a podcast in months, I thought we'd change it to Douche of the Month.
Oh, speaking of douches, can we just do a follow-up? Remember your boy Larry Sanders?
Sanders.
Remember he was a douche?
Well, well, well.
So apparently you don't get suspended in basketball if you get in a bar fight and throw glass bottles at people, but if you smoke a little bit of weed,
yeah.
5 games.
Larry Sanders, quote, "I believe in marijuana."
Oh. Wow.
Good on him.
Wow. What's in the context? How do you say I believe in marijuana?
He's saying he's going... It's a banned substance, but I believe in the medical use, so yeah. I know what it is. Well, and he believes once it gets cleared for, you know, it's not illegal in the States, yeah.
It's
going to be
it's
all
It's a matter
for
of
it.
Time, and he's got a mental disability, so what's the problem?
I think it's great. I'm all about it.
I bet you are.
Yeah. I believe in marijuana. It's awesome that he's just in the press with that. That's great. So he hasn't got fined for glassing some dude in a bar
it's
or anything
still,
like that?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's all been kind of...
It's up to the hands of the team.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's probably the best thing he's done all year.
Yeah, no doubt.
Amazingly.
So can
proclamation.
Do you have a douche of the week?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Let me go with mine first.
Yeah,
okay, let's hear it. Notable mention. Well, it's only Hibbert. I just think it's super weak that he's mouthing up in the locker room because he didn't get shots. It's super weak. It lacks maturity, and it's just a really shit sign of where your team's at, especially going to the playoffs. That's it.
It's weak.
Yeah,
it's weak.
It's weak.
I don't know if it's like the worst thing I've heard.
Not at all. There weren't that many douchebags.
But it is
help.
A little douchey.
My one's kind of half serious.
Okay.
Did you hear about Dante Cunningham?
No.
You know, he plays for the T-Wolves. He's in jail right now.
Heavy.
Because he kicked down a locked door that his girlfriend was standing behind and then proceeded to choke her for 15 seconds.
Jesus.
And then let her go. Mm. So he's in prison. Luckily,
yeah,
and that's totally fucked up.
He evaded her.
Yeah, and it's like, it's a pretty sickening sort of thing that happens in sport a lot.
Yeah.
And it's really nasty. So I hope he fucking
That's
rots
way
in
worse
jail
than
for
my
forever.
Douche of the week.
Yeah. But
that's a real douche.
A real douche, yeah.
Yeah, that's like a heavy douche.
It's not funny at all.
Not funny. Whew.
Well, my douche is brought to you by Sprite.
He's my douche, Brian.
So, it was close. It was like, should I talk about the wrapping or should I talk about the Sprite? And because I'm a fan of giving it to corporate whores, LeBron brought out a new Sprite, which is cool. You know, Sprite. Grant Hill drinks it.
Yeah.
So that I was like, all right, cool. I get that. Grant Hill drinks Sprite.
Mm.
So LeBron. But he started tweeting it and like taking pictures of himself on the bus. And then you saw him at the launch party. And it was like, Sprite. Mix by LeBron James. By LeBron
it's
James.
It's not an aftershave.
If I wrote a book, it would be by Wesley Montgomery.
What if he
by
designed
LeBron
it?
James.
What if he was like, guys, I got these flavors?
He didn't because he tweeted, I'm so humbled by this. You know,
he's so fucking... He has no idea what the word humble means.
No.
I'm just
no
putting
idea.
It out there right now.
I agree with
he
you.
He uses it in every sentence.
Dude, okay. I stopped following him on Instagram because I can't stand his douchebag moves all the time.
I stopped following
him.
He
thinks he's a fashion icon and he dresses like shit.
Here's why I have a couple problems with it. Number one, the can, he's holding the can and it's about the size of... two regular cans, and because his hand is the size of five of my hands, that must be the biggest can in the world, and you're selling that to kids who want to be athletes.
He needs to fuel his ginormous torso.
He doesn't, yeah. Secondly, it's not by LeBron James. You know, Grant Hill, it wasn't like Grant Hill drinks Sprite because he made it.
Yeah. They took the piss out of that anyway. Remember when the dude missed a dunk, Grant Hill dunked, and and image is nothing, thirst is everything.
Yeah, that yeah. was cool.
Yeah,
that made sense.
Sending the right
but
message,
to
eh?
Brand something like he's actually been part of the development, like he's been there with a lab coat, mixing flavors together, finding the ultimate. I've got it!
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Could
it's
have
absolutely
happened.
Ridiculous.
Could have happened.
Thirdly, so what? They gave you, what, maybe like a couple $1 million to do it? And they go, here's a check for $2 million. We're going to put your name on the brand. Yip-de-doo-da. Why didn't he go, I love the idea, Sprite, but what about this? Let's get some healthy water or some sort of lightly flavored sports drink and we'll brand it with my name. You guys will get all the rights to it, but we'll give a majority of the portion or profits to developing, you know, give it to New Orleans.
I'm shocked LeBron's agent didn't go for that.
Yeah.
It'd be nice. Yeah, it'd just be nice if somebody in sports, well, you know.
Very sweet of you to think that I
just don't want a basketball camp.
Well, wasn't he just rapping? His shit rap song was about the dollars.
Yeah,
isn't that what he was?
Yeah, he just landed in Rome, killer.
Yeah,
but
he doesn't give a fuck.
I get it.
But your mate Kobe's just gone and done just that. Like this week,
what did he do?
He's invested in a new sports drink company.
Kobe new drink.
Yeah,
Body Armor,
and it's based on coconut water.
Oh, okay.
See, now,
and it has twice the potassium of Gatorade.
Mark my words. From this day on, I am never saying something bad about Kobe Bryant.
Oh, he's passionate about his coconut drink that probably has like 10 times as much sugar as his can of Sprite. That's what's up. He's just marketed it better.
But Body Armor is in like the clothing brand?
No, that's Under Armour.
Oh, that's Under
his
Armour.
His name, yeah.
So Body Armor. I wonder if it's an offshoot.
But I don't think you can hate on him so
coconut
much.
Coconut milk is good for you.
Yeah, I know. That's why it's in the Body Armor. It's great. It tastes like shit, but it's good.
Yeah, it makes me actually dry reach a little bit when I drink coconut
milk.
Don't
like it at all.
I just think, you know, it's just a little bit weird for just a little bit of money where you could turn a whole like project and campaign and you know, like tweet and promote something that's doing good. How much better that actually could do for you than just a quick check.
Well, Coca-Cola and Sprite, so they're just a massive corporation who are just, you know, hell-bent on profit, you know, and they're just throwing him dollars.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Everyone hates Lance Armstrong, but he started his whole foundation around cancer due to, you know, what he went through and all that sort of stuff, which turned into like a 500 million or it was ridiculous how much it was worth.
Yeah.
Where if he wanted to do something that was like sports related, because he's so huge right now, he could do something that actually gave back but would still make money and also create more to his legacy.
Yeah,
I think it would be wiser for him.
I don't think he went out there and he was saying, "What can I do?" I think he was just approached and they were like, "Here's all this money. Just put your name on it and drink it." And
he went perfect. Grant Hill likes it. I just think it's really irresponsible for Sprite to say it's by him because it's confusing for the kids too. Everyone's been blabbing about the size of drinks and the size of soft drink. Three, it's not anything to do with a sport drink at all. And four, I just think it's douchey.
Yeah, well, no, I hear you. It's very valid for douchebag of the week.
Well, yeah. Well, Lance Armstrong, great guy. But I was looking back at some of the like classic endorsements of players over the years, and you could do a lot worse than this. Kobe, they had Kobe eating a Big Mac like in the locker room before a game.
Yeah, that's
what about way. And Vlade Divac selling razors to make these face more appealing to American women?
Or Pele,
you know?
With his
Will Chamberlain did an ad with his mum for children's laxatives. I'm not fucking making that up.
The soccer player,
Cantona,
Messi.
Yeah, no, was it Pele back in the day? Did men's sexual health?
Oh yeah, he did.
Yeah.
That's great.
There were a couple other things that regarding nicknames we were going to talk about for douche, but do you want to just give us a little bit of that, Rabbit, for some nicknames that have been going around.
Oh, no, I was just saying before because we were hating on the fact that they're calling Griffin the Flying Lion.
Yeah.
Which is trying to get that to stick. The grossest nickname ever.
Flying Lion.
It seems like all these nicknames of late in the last few years have just fucking piss poor, you know?
Yeah.
There's nothing like, you know, there used to be money names. Whether or not they all the good ones got taken or not, it's up for debate, but like, even like,
it ended
you know,
with Jason,
the yeah. Rain Man was mad.
Yep, the even, glove. The,
like, all these names, like, obviously the Doctor's Money, the Iceman, you know, they're just awesome. Even Grandmama was all right, you know.
Yeah.
The answer, it's fucking all time.
Truth.
And now you're trotting out the Flying Lion.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's a griffin and he's a fly, like, it's clever,
it's better
but it's
than
shit.
That, surely. Do you think it's now because social media is so relevant that people are just throwing out names and everyone's just like, yeah, let's call him that. That sounds fine. Like, or is it, and my theory is that it could be sort of like the players can have access to each other so easily and access to all the fans so easily that they just say something off the cuff and it kind of sticks because they heard it.
I also think the media
accessible.
And like the announcers, get a little bit of cred when they come up with some sort of name, because a lot of times when they're commentating on game stuff, like they go, blah, oh, he did that like a da-da-da-da, or that was Tenacious D, or that was... Yeah, and all of a sudden they're like, yeah, I coined that, by the way.
Yeah, it's like Jalen. Jalen's always trying to get nicknames to stick. Iceberg, totally. Slim, and such shit. Yeah.
And what was Durant's?
He wanted to call himself The Servant.
That's...
Which is about the worst
gay.
Nickname I've ever heard.
It's because he loves God, right? Because he's got a huge tattoo on his back.
I think it's something like that.
Yeah.
Did he... Is this a self-proclaimed nickname? Because that's just out of line. That's like fucking Kobe. Like,
yeah.
That's
or,
like the Black Mamba. And it's kind of stuck, but I don't know anyone who really Nick calls Young? Him... Oh, Mamba for three. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Black Mamba for three?
Defo. They love that.
So bad. So
Kill
bad.
Bill was a cool so movie, man. Terrible. Let it go.
Don't like self-imposed nickname.
Yeah.
It could be where it's all going wrong.
It was highlighted by the game with the between the Heat and Brooklyn with the nicknames on the back of the jerseys.
Yeah, you're right.
And they were just all terrible. So except bad. For the OG ones like The Truth, which I think is a great nickname.
Totally.
Yeah. And Bosch had CB.
Terrible.
Not only that, Joe Johnson.
Yeah, JJ.
That was it.
Your initials aren't a nickname.
Oh,
sorry.
How about this? Garnett has started calling Joe Johnson Jesus now because he's avoided Ray Ray out of his life, obviously.
Oh.
Remember how he wouldn't shake his hand? He's just being a bitch about it. And now he's just calling Joe Johnson Jesus. He's just throwing it out there. That's what I'm calling him. And because Joe Johnson should be Joe Smooth, like that's to me is like the most blatantly outrageous, like Josh Smith has that nickname.
Jay Smooth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Over Joe Johnson? Someone's got to stand up. Is it just like first in, best dress? Like, I'm taxing this.
Yeah.
Yeah, this well, Joe was there before. I don't know. Yeah, just people slept on it, I suppose. I agree with you, though.
Yeah.
Everyone I know Joe, I just call American Joe. I don't know why.
American Joe.
All right. Before we finish up, JB's just going to throw another little... he's going to Negro Domus us.
Yeah, can you say that?
I don't know. Dave Chappelle said it, Negro Domist.
He's
but you're
black.
White, so what are you, Honky Dormist or something?
Yeah, I'm not really predicting anything, though. I don't know. I think you're getting it misconstrued.
Oh, shit, you're right. Well, what would you call it?
Just hypotheticals.
Yeah, I wanted to start a new segment for us.
Okay, cool. We're doing a new segment.
Our second segment after Douche of the Week.
Sweet.
Where we, like, each of us take a turn to pick some hypothetical situations, and you guys get to fucking...
And eventually we'll have sound effects and stuff like this, so...
Yeah.
Hypothetical! Or something.
That's going to be it. We're just going to trademark that.
And then at the end it'll just be Rabbit going, this is dumb.
I'm excited. It's not dumb. This is great.
I got one...
No, just in my voice.
I got one, like, basketball-y one.
Yep.
You know, to drag it in. Yeah,
hit me.
A couple of volleyball.
Hit me back.
Okay, cool. I was going to say, if you were starting a team today and you had carte blanche, anyone to choose from, don't worry about money or anything like that, and you were starting a team from scratch and you could choose out of Paul George and Blake Griffin, who are you taking to start your team?
Blake Griffin.
That simple?
Yep.
Is there anything else relevant? Are we talking... Just right here and now.
Yep, from now
not
on.
Like Blake Griffin, like now versus Blake Griffin a year ago. Or
no, right now.
Right at this moment.
Today.
You choose
Blake
Griffin.
I
have to go with
because
Blake
Griffin. Because he hustles. He's not afraid of defense. He's a powerhouse. Explosive. He's going to fill the seats. Paul George is still inconsistent. He needs LeBron's help for advice.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think if you put any half decent point guard next to Blake Griffin, you got yourself a really exciting game.
If you asked me a year ago, I would have probably said Paul George.
If I asked you like 2 weeks into the season.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So that's how quickly it turns. You don't believe it. Paul George is going to get that back at any point.
He probably will, but that's why I said as in right now. Because I think Paul George in 2 years, Posso, could be
Look
way better
much
than Paul
Blake
Griffin.
But that's what I'm saying. If you're starting your team, though,
oh,
and you're, go-
creating
and you're taking him, from here on
I'm
in.
I'm
going
to smash your team if you choose Paul. Look how much Blake Griffin's improved dribbling, passing, his mid-range jump shot, his basketball knowledge.
I don't think his mid-range jump shot's improved that much.
It has a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely better.
I think he's improved. I'm sure if you were to take every stat and compare it to last year, it'd be up a little
bit. Grantland probably does that, actually.
Look, I hate Blake Griffin,
but
he is a monster.
He's a monster, but I just think I'm going further long-term with Paul George.
This one is sort of aimed more at Wes, but you both like the answer because
Plumlee.
This is more in Wes's wheelhouse, things that Wes likes.
Right.
Sweet.
So would you rather have LeBron James's body for 2 weeks or JJ Barea's girlfriend for 2 hours?
In terms of the body, is it neck down body or is the face included?
His shape would become your shape.
Just like neck down.
Yeah.
Or JJ Barea.
JJ Barea's girlfriend.
Who's the South American supermodel.
Miss That's Puerto correct. Rico.
For how long is
Puerto
the...
Puerto Rico.
South America?
2 hours. 2 hours.
Is there any sort of like basketball competition that I could enter and win anything?
What are you talking about basketball?
It's your life. It's your life. You just live your life. You don't have these basketball skills.
I think because I have no money and nothing to do with my amazing new body, I'll take the supermodel.
Yeah, dude.
At least, you know.
Yeah, I'm surprised. You just love the male form so much. No, I thought you just like to admire.
That's not what I like. I like making fun of odd... Odd-looking chess. It's not like I look at a guy's chest and go, oh, wow, there's a fantastic chest. I go, look how weird and flat that guy's chest is. And it's usually Tom Cruise.
That's not what
it
is.
That's all it is.
I'm just saying, you said the other night.
Yeah, what did I say the other night? You tell me.
That look at Tom Cruise's chest.
It's weird and flat.
Isn't that weird compared to...
Rafael Nadal.
No,
that's not what I said.
It is.
I said, look at Rafael Nadal's chest. It's weird and flat like Tom Cruise's.
I can't look at it. I don't remember his chest in my head. I don't know what it looks like.
Okay.
I can't.
If I was sitting there going, oh, check out the way that Brad Pitt's fucking stomach muscles go, oh, that's so cool. Then you'd be like, oh, it's not cool. Exactly. But that's not what I said. I said, oh, look at Rafael Nadal's chest. It's weird and flat like Tom Cruise's. That's all I said. And all you heard is, oh, Wes likes weird, flat chest, and he likes Tom Cruise's chest. He likes Rafael's chest. It's fuck you.
All I'm saying is that you're the only person who asked me to go see 300. It's not a coincidence. All right. Okay. This one's more directed at you now to sort of, you know, even it out a touch. This is more in your wheelhouse.
Bring it.
Would you rather have Sean Marion's jump shot or AIDS? It's not a death sentence anymore, Chris.
No, I know. Am I HIV positive or do I have AIDS?
Let's dial it back. Let's say hepatitis.
Yeah.
Hepatitis C.
Yeah, it's treatable, so I'm going with hepatitis. Yep. Sean Marion's jump shot's not treatable.
Yeah.
So,
or you just don't play basketball.
Could have said, or Jermaine O'Neal's free throw shot.
Yeah.
It would just be like having asthma or something. You just take a pill or, you know, whatever, and you're good to go, and I can still have a pretty jump shot.
Have you seen Jermaine O'Neal? He holds it. Lifts
yeah,
it up,
he causes
takes
violations.
The arm away, flicks it.
He causes violations. People come in the lane going for a rebound before he releases it. Fucks with people.
Yeah, he's a crafty veteran that goaltends. Anyways,
I got one last one, and it's a bit sexual.
All right.
So if you're underage,
they've
stop
all been
listening
sexual.
Right now.
This is my new favorite segment.
Yeah. Would you rather get a hand job from Rondo with your eyes closed and imagine whoever you like?
Mm-hmm.
Or a hand job from Doris Burke, and you had to maintain eye contact for the whole thing.
How far away? Are we
Did you hear the
about?
End of my thing? Yeah. You have to maintain eye contact till ejaculation.
I think if you heard her commentating or discussing basketball, it would get you going. So I think if you're like, it's happening, you're like, all right, she's Doris, so tell me, what do you think about da 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 da? She'd be like, well, I think they're playing great defense. You'd be like, ugh!
Eye contact though, dude, the whole time. Or you just you just lying there imagining
I told you
Miss
how
Puerto
I felt.
Rico jerking you off.
With the world's
and
biggest hands.
It would
hands.
Probably be 2 minutes. He'd have a good grip. I'm going with fucking Rondo.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't know about it. Oh. I wouldn't know about it. He just said you wouldn't know. Eyes closed. I know who it is.
Dude, you'd know
monkey
that
grip,
gigantic
bro.
Man hand
monkey
wrapped
grip.
Around.
It'd be over. Your penis.
It'd be over in probably 90 seconds. And you're staring into Doris Burke's eyes would probably take 20
I think
minutes.
You're being mean to Doris Burke.
20 minutes
is
a
lovely woman.
That's
you're
generous.
Staring in her eyes.
Yeah.
20 minutes.
You're being mean. I reckon she's a lovely woman.
I reckon at least 2 hours of direct eye contact.
Oh, that's great. Well done, Bag. They were great questions.
Cool. I think that's about it for this month's podcast. Hopefully, we'll be back next week.
Oh, we'll be back.
With a hot new pre-playoffs. We got about, playoffs start April 20th, so...
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
3 weeks. 2 weeks.
2 weeks and 5 games away from just...
Glory.
Chicken wings, nachos, fucking TV every day, doing nothing. your wife or girlfriend hates you because all you do. When is this over? When will it end?
Mine's in the bedroom right now.
NCAA Final Four this Saturday. But by the time we release this, it'll be finals.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. You can check our Facebook out at
facebook.com/FCP podcast.
Yep. And that's all.